Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of PastorStudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. One Sunday, I took the microphone down into the congregation and I asked the question, "Why did you come to church today?" One person said, "To sing hymns." One person said, "To hear a biblical sermon." Somebody, I think, said, "You know, I love Christian fellowship, being with my brothers and sisters. No, I come to church to serve the Lord," etc., etc. And then I said, "But what's the most important reason you go to church?" You know what I think the answer is? To worship. Isaiah 43 says, God created us for His glory, to worship and praise Him. I think that's the number one reason we go to church. When I was in seminary, there was a worship professor who said, "You know, we won't have Old Testament classes in heaven, or New Testament classes, or pastoral counseling classes in heaven, but the one thing we'll have in heaven is worship." Literally, the word worship in English means worth-ship. You're telling God how much he's worth to you. In the New Testament Greek, worship means to kiss toward, to serve, to kneel. In the Old Testament Hebrew, worship means literally to bow down. What I want to talk about on this program are the seven elements of true worship. W-O-R-S-H-I-P. Let's see what each letter stands for true worship. Let's pray first. Father, we pray this morning and this whenever this airs in the evening across the country. Lord, we pray if there's someone watching this that isn't into a good church, that you open their eyes to see what they're missing and you'd get them into a good church where they can worship you. And Lord, teach us now what true worship is. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The W of worship. See if you can catch this. This is from Psalm 89. "The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord." Acts chapter 3, a lame man is healed, and it says the crowd was filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. W of worship stands for wonder. You get a glimpse of the awesomeness of God. When I was 10 years old, my little buddies and I are in the backyard looking at the stars. And one of them says, "You know, space goes on forever." And I said, "No, that can't be." I said, "You know, probably way out there, there's some big brick wall that ends space." And he said, "But what's on the other side of the wall?" And I thought, wow. And then when I was about 12, I went to my Lutheran confirmation class, and the pastor taught God has no beginning and no end. He's always just been. You know, I got the thing, he has no end, but God has no beginning. He's just always been. You know, the W of worship is you get a sense of wonder. Have you ever heard of Hans Nielsen Hauge? In 1796, a 25-year-old farmer is plowing, and he gets knocked over. He's singing a hymn, but he falls over, and he was out for a while, and then he came to filled with the wonder of God. It turned him into a new person. He started evangelizing. He started the greatest revival movement in the history of Norway, Hans Nielsen Hauge. Something similar was happening in the 1700s in New England. It was called the First Great Awakening, the First Revival Movement. Jonathan Edwards, the Puritan preacher, had this happen. Quote, "Once as I rode out into the woods for my health in 1737, having alighted from my horse in a retired place, as my manner commonly has been, to walk for divine contemplation and prayer, I had a view that for me was extraordinary, of the glory of the Son of God, as mediator between God and man, and His wonderful, great, full, pure, and sweet grace, and love, and meek, gentle condescension, which continued as near as I can judge about an hour, which kept me the greater part of the time in a flood of tears and weeping aloud. The first great awakening starts with a sense of wonder. There's a church in California called the Vineyard Church. They have outlets around the country. Years ago, I went there for a pastor's conference, big auditorium with the worship. I walked in there, I sat down, and the worship band starts to play. I started crying. I don't know. This happened like 4 or 5 nights in a row. I'd sit down. The worship is so beautiful. I mean, I'd think about my sins. I'd think about God's mercy. And I just started crying. The first thing that happens when we truly worship, we get a sense of the awesomeness of God, how huge He is. In the 400s, there's a story that St. Augustine has just written his great treatise on the Holy Trinity. The story goes, he gets done, he takes a walk by the ocean. Here's a little boy that made a hole in the sand. The little boy's running over to the ocean and dumping water into the hole. Then he runs over, gets some more ocean water, dumps it. St. Augustine, little boy, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to empty the ocean into my hole. Well, Augustine, look at how huge, you can't empty that great ocean into this hole. And it was as if the Lord said, and you think, Augustine, in your treatise on the Holy Trinity, that you've touched the awesomeness of God. So check yourself. W, do you have a sense of the wonder of God in your life? That's why we worship. The O of worship, see if you can guess this one, from 1 Corinthians 14. God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. So, my brethren, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. Did you catch the O? Order. Worship should be orderly. Now, I believe in speaking in tongues, but I've been to a few churches where, during the worship service, lots of people all over the congregation start speaking out in tongues at the same time. Paul says, don't do that. Let things be done in order. Order is to be part of the Christian life. I like to garage sale. Now and then there's a citywide garage sale. And if you can get it, sometimes there's a map of 40 garage sales. So I did this. Here's a citywide garage sale. I got the map first. And I went to, I think I hit every one of them. And I got great stuff that day. But had I not been orderly about it, I would have missed so much. Let me ask you this question. How orderly is your Christian life? Do you regularly pray? Do you regularly read your Bible? Do you regularly go to church? Do you regularly do something to serve the Lord? If you don't have order in your life, you'll miss a lot of the Christian blessings. I talked with a teenager and I said, do you read your Bible? Yes, I do. I said, good. How do you read it? He said, well, I'll pick it up and I'll just open it and then I'll look at that page and I'll read that page. And then the next day I'll just open it again. I said, well, I want you to do this. Today, read Matthew chapter 1. Put in the bookmark. And tomorrow, read chapter 2. Put in the bookmark. Next day, Matthew 3. And I said, read all the way through the New Testament, all the way through the Old Testament, and then just keep going and going. Because order will bless your life. Years ago, in Toronto, Canada, they had a big revival movement. And I wanted to see what it was like. So I went. Big auditorium, lots of Christians worshiping the Lord. The worship was beautiful. They had different preachers every week. I was just there for 1 week. The preacher I got for that week, he'd get up and preach, and it was all over the board. You didn't know what he was saying. And he said one evening, you know, I used to prepare my sermons. Now I just let the Holy Spirit speak. And I'm thinking, could you go back and prepare your sermon? Because God works through order. He works through preparation. True worship involves wonder, order. See if you can catch the R of worship. This is from Hebrews 12. Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Did you catch it? R stands for reverence. The word reverence means fear. There is a proper fear of God. I think maybe the Catholics are the best at this. I mean, you go to a Catholic church, often you can hear a pin drop before the worship service. People are on their knees. But I remember a Protestant preacher saying once, he went to a church and the organist is loudly playing the prelude before the service, and she suddenly stopped. Here some lady was yelling, "I fry mine in chicken fat." And, you know, can I encourage you to do something? When you go to your church this week, and if you don't go to church, find a good church and go this week, and go a little early, sit in the pew, and just pray for the worship service. It's called reverence. And, you know, talking more about reverence, I don't like it when people call God the big guy, the man upstairs. No, let's be reverent. And especially don't say, "Oh my God." Mm-hmm. You know, when I was a little boy, they wouldn't say that on TV. I remember when it started, the Mary Tyler Moore Show. She started saying, "Oh my God," and they left it in. And I preached some time ago. A little boy comes up afterwards, "Pastor Brock, I learned something from your sermon." I said, "Well, what's that?" "I didn't know it was wrong to say, 'Oh my God.'" Well, yeah, it's violating the second commandment. Don't take God's name in vain. Well, he didn't know that. I don't blame him. The way it is all over our culture. You know, America has lost its reverence of God. It's killing our nation. True worship involves W, wonder, O, order, R, reverence. See if you can spot the S of worship. Joshua 24. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness." Mark 7, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me." Did you catch what the S is? Sincere. Do you sincerely worship the Lord? I went back, my first church when I was a young preacher was in Florida, and I went back to preach. And a friend of mine that I grew up with wanted to hear me preach, and she lives in Florida, so I invited her, and she and I go to church, and we sit there, and she had come out of some sexual sin, but now she's a born-again Christian, and I'm sitting there, and, "Oh, Pastor Brock, we're so glad you're here. Please pray, because our worship leader, she lives with her boyfriend, well, her boyfriend came to church today for the first time, so please pray for him." And that person leaves, and my dear friend says, "Tom, is that right? That the worship leader is living with her boyfriend?" I said, "No, that isn't right." That didn't help my friend. She's left that lifestyle. She doesn't need to see it in her face when she comes to church. So if you don't worship with sincerity, you can hurt people. So let me ask you this. How sincere is your worship of the Lord? Is there something in your house you need to throw away to be a sincere Christian? True worship involves wonder, order, reverence, sincerity. See if you can catch the H. Acts 13. "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul to be missionaries.'" Did you catch that? True worship is Holy Spirit directed. While they're worshiping, the Holy Spirit says, "Make those two men missionaries." You know, I just preached that we need to have order in our worship. But we also need to be open to the Holy Spirit budging our order. On a Christmas Eve, I was preaching. And I briefly mentioned, you know, if you're living with someone you're not married to, that's wrong. I don't know where that came from. It was not in my notes. Afterwards, a lady comes up, "Oh, Pastor Brock, thank you. I got my daughter finally to come to church tonight. She's living with her boyfriend. Thank you for saying what you said." You know, we need to have order in our worship, but we need to let the Holy Spirit budge our order. I have two friends that are missionaries, and I said to them, "What made you missionaries?" And they said, "Well, Tom, years ago we were at your church, and during the worship service, it was as if the Lord said, 'I want you to be missionaries.' They've been doing it now for decades." During a worship service at the church I served, I'm worshiping, and in the worship, it comes into my head, "You hurt her feelings." I thought, ooh. And after church, I hunted the person down. This was a woman on my staff, and I had made a joke innocently, but I said to her, "Look, I'm sorry. Did I hurt your feelings? I'm sorry I made the comment. I really had hurt her feelings." So we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work on us while we're worshiping. The Bible talks about the gift of prophecy, that maybe the Lord will give you a word that he wants you to share with the whole church. So what I have shared with people is, if you think that's true, write it down, hand it to the pastor, have the pastors and elders pray over it, and if it seems right, have them read it out loud to the whole church. We need to have order in church, but we need to allow the Holy Spirit to budge our order. Worship is wonder, order, reverence, sincerity, Holy Spirit directed. See if you can get the eye of worship. Now, this one you might not get. A bit of a stretch. In the early church of Rome, there were Christians there that put one day above another, like a Sabbath. Other Christians held every day alike. Other Christians would only eat certain foods, and some Christians ate anything. And Paul wrote this, Romans 14. One man esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all day alike. Let everyone be fully convinced in his own mind. Why do you pass judgment on one another? Here's the eye. The eye of worship is individual. Much of what you like in worship is a matter of individual taste. Some of you love the old traditional hymns. Some of you love the new contemporary Christian worship music. Well, fine. It doesn't matter. I mean, don't be Michal, the wife of David. You remember when David was dancing up and down, jumping and worshiping the Lord, and his wife is going, "Oh, brother, don't do that." If people love old traditional hymns, that doesn't mean they're stodgy. If people love contemporary Christian music and they put their hands up, that doesn't mean they're kooks. We got to allow for individual differences in worship. I was talking to a music director. I was going to preach on worship. I said, "What would you have me tell the people?" And she said, "Tell them worship is not about them. It's about the Lord. So if they don't always get the kind of worship they want, it's not about them. It's about the Lord. Allow for individual differences." I mean, when I was a young preacher, I came to my new church, and at the end of the sermon, I took my guitar and I sang a song. Well, some people were very upset. "Oh, Pastor Brock, you took the guitar into the pulpit?" I'm thinking, yeah, is there a verse against that somewhere? You know, just we got to allow people to worship differently than we do. Wonder, order, reverence, sincerity, Holy Spirit directed, individual. The last letter of worship is P. This one's easy. From Psalm 150, praise the Lord. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The P, of course, stands for worship is praise. Do you know the most popular hymn in America? How great thou art. How great thou art. It's such a wonderful praise hymn. And what I want to encourage you to do, I've talked about this before. Are you doing it? Every night before I go to bed, I think back on the day, and I thank God for five things. Would you do this before you go to bed tonight? Think back on the day and praise God for five things. All right, let's put it all together. Test yourself. Do you have these elements of worship in your life? W, do you have a sense of the wonder of God? O, order. Is your Christian life orderly so you can get the most out of it? R, do you have a proper reverence for God? S, not are you perfect, but are you genuinely, sincerely seeking the Lord? H, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to direct your life? I, do you allow for people to be different from you in the way you worship? And P, before you go to bed tonight, will you praise the Lord for five things? And that is what biblical, godly worship is all about. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question, should we allow speaking in tongues during a worship service?
Let's first explain what speaking in tongues is. Some people have what's called the gift of tongues where they can speak in a language they don't understand and they're speaking to God. It's a mystery. And then other people have a gift called interpretation, where they can understand supernaturally what this person is speaking in tongues. And I've been to churches like this. You can go to a church and someone stands up and speaks in a tongue, mm-hmm. and someone else interprets it for the whole church, and they kind of have a message from the Lord. So should we have speaking in tongues in the church? Well, if you read 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and chapter 14. Mm-hmm. You are to allow that only if there's interpretation. And so if you're getting up and speaking in tongues and nobody has interpretation, nobody knows what you're talking about, Paul says, then you just be quiet. I've also been in churches, Mona, where everybody starts speaking in tongues at the same time. It's rather chaotic. Mm-hmm. And Paul says, no, at most three tongues in a service and one at a time. So I don't like it when you have that kind of, I think that's unbiblical. Again, the chapters are, read 1 Corinthians 12 and then read 1 Corinthians 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are Christians supposed to fear God?
Yeah, we talked about fearing God in the sermon, and the answer is Luke chapter 12. Jesus says, don't fear men. All they can do is kill you. Fear God. He can send you to hell. Mm-hmm. So there is a sense in which we are to fear God. But then in the same chapter, Jesus says, disciples, don't fear. God loves you more than the sparrows. Mm-hmm. So am I to fear God or not? I've shared this on TV before, but I like this analogy. If I'm driving in the car, going up the hills, down the hills, taking the curves, I normally am not afraid. If my tire starts going over the curb, down into the ditch, then I get scared and get back on the road. All right. As long as I'm trusting in Christ, I don't fear God. I'm not going to hell. He loves me. I'm saved. Mm-hmm. But if I start turning away from Christ, rebelling against Christ, not trusting him, and living in sin, I should be so scared I get back on the road. Because, as Jesus said, Luke 12, God can send you to hell. Mm-hmm. So yes and no.
Yes and no on that one.
Yeah.
Some pastors now pray to God as mother, and they change even the old hymns. What are your thoughts on this?
Listen, I graduated from Luther Seminary years ago. It's a Lutheran seminary of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the liberal branch. When I went there years ago, it was moderate. Mm-hmm. Today it's radical. And you can go to the website and watch a transgender preacher get up and says, let's pray the Lord's Prayer as you feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And he, she led the prayer, Our Mother in Heaven, hallowed be your name. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, isn't it rather arrogant to improve upon the words of Jesus Christ? Jesus said you call God our Father. So, you know, I tell you, this is the hymn book of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They have de-sexed all the psalms in here. So instead of God, he does this, he does that. God, you do this, you do that. They've gotten rid of all the masculine pronouns for God. The Bible uses masculine pronouns for God. There's a hymn in here, Mothering God, You Gave Me Birth. There is an ELCA church. If you think I'm lying on this, go to herchurch.org. There's an ELCA Lutheran church in California that worships the goddess. I mean, it's really pagan, but they're in full fellowship with the ELCA. They won't discipline them. So, yeah, I worship God the Father, not God the Mother.
Amen.
And you know, one more, it's not just the Lutherans. Across the street from where I live is a large liberal Methodist church. Mm-hmm. I visited one Sunday. The pastor got up to baptize the child. And he baptizes, I baptize this child in the name of the one who creates all things, and of the Son, and of the Spirit. Do you notice what he did? He got rid of God the Father. Why? Because he's probably a feminist. So I wrote him a note. I found his P.O. box. Dear Pastor, Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We don't know more than Jesus. Mm-hmm. Let's follow him instead of the world. Shall we, Pastor? So anyway, yes, we worship God the Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Why do Christians worship on Sunday when the Old Testament says we should worship on Saturday?
Seventh-day Adventists are a group that insists that we worship on Saturday because that's what the Old Testament taught the Jews to do. Mm-hmm. My response is, nothing's wrong with worshiping on Saturday, but in the New Testament, they start worshiping on the first day of the week. Well, what are these Jewish Christians doing worshiping on the first day of the week, which is Sunday? Well, something pretty big must have happened to get them to start worshiping on Sunday. And what was that? Christ rose from the dead on Sunday. So, you know, there's a few things that we don't kill lambs when we sin in the New Testament. The Old Testament Jews had to. We mm-hmm. don't. Right. And the Old Testament Jews had to keep certain food laws. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus declared all foods clean. So I can eat pork. Old Testament Jews couldn't. Mm-hmm. So I think this is one of those things. Yes, worship every week, the exact day. I mean, some Seventh-day Adventists, not all. Some believe if you worship on Sunday rather than Saturday, you've received the mark of the beast. Mm. Well, that's not in the Bible. Mm-mm. So there you go. Everybody worship, but which day isn't? Paul could not have written Romans chapter 14 about one man holds this day above another. Somebody else says they're all the same. Paul says, well, be convinced in your own mind. If we were supposed to only worship on Saturday, Paul could not have written those words.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think about churches where people get very emotional?
When they worship. I think it's fine. I'm a Lutheran. We don't get emotional enough in church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of my first jobs, I was a teenager. My dad ran the racetrack in Omaha. And so when the horses would, I was the usher. So I sat through every single race. It was boring to me. Mm-hmm. But when the horses round the corner, people got up and down, jumped, screamed at the top of their lungs. And I'm thinking, if people can get that excited about a horse, can't I get excited about the Lord?
Amen.
So I think it's fine to be emotional in church.
I agree. Can't I worship God by watching a church service on TV? Do I need to go to church? Can't I worship God in a fishing boat?
If you can't get to church because you're a shut-in, then worship the Lord on TV. But Mona, people who say that my TV show, some of them, you're my TV, you're my church. No, I'm not. Hebrews chapter 10 commands us to be in church. Yeah. And church is not just where I go to get. Mm-hmm. I go to give. I go to serve the Lord by, you know, ushering, teaching Sunday school or whatever. So every Christian is to be part of the body. If you can't get in church, okay, then watch us. But every Christian is to be part of the church. And can you worship God in a fishing boat? Of course you can. But I've never been fishing, Mona, and heard somebody in the next boat singing How Great Thou Art. I think that's a bit of a cop-out. God wants us in church.
Yes, he does. We're commanded to do
that. Yes, we are. Hebrews 10.
How did people worship God in Old Testament days?
Well, you know, the book of Psalms in the Old Testament was the Jewish hymn book. They sang those psalms. So the way they would sing back and forth, kind of like we do, and they had, you know, praise God on loud crashing cymbals. They had worship mm-hmm. instruments, and they sang, and they had readings. So,
well, we're almost out of time, Pastor mm-hmm. Brock.
Yep.
I want to let our viewers know if they want to watch the program, they can look up pastorstudy.org.
Pastorstudy.org.
Two S's, and you can watch past programs. Thank you for joining us today. Do you have anything that you want to add?
Well, everybody, I don't care if you worship with contemporary songs or old hymns. Worship, though. Find a good church. Go every Sunday. And we just thank you for all the prayers. A lot of people pray for our ministry. A lot of people give to keep us on the air. And if God nudges you, there'll be a address in a moment, or you can go to their website if you want to help support us. But God has been good to us. Mm-hmm. We're reaching more people than ever. We're getting
Amazing.
Lots of mail. So thank you for your prayers and your giving. And God be with you till we see you next week at the Pastor
thank
Study.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.